And good morning to each of you. That was quite a transition from Let Freedom Ring to ravens pecking at our eyes. I do hope you have a great 4th of July celebration this week. And we're looking at the 5th commandment this morning of the 10, set free to live free. Last Sunday, Scott did a great job with the 4th commandment of remembering the Sabbath day. Naomi and I were at, her family gets together every year in Chambersburg, so we were there in a family reunion, had a good time there, missed being here. So those of you that know our kids and know that they can get rowdy at times, and I remembered again that that comes from the mother's side of the family, so, but we had a good time, and yesterday, actually, speaking of the remembering the Sabbath day, we had elders meeting Saturday morning. Once a month we do that, and we talked about, actually there's a summary of the minutes back in the foyer if you'd like to read that, but we talked about our upcoming August business meeting. We do that every August, and the attendance has just kind of been dwindling, and we assume that's because everybody just trusts what the leaders are doing, and hopefully that's true. But we'd like to have more people come. So we talked about maybe we should have a fellowship meal Sunday afternoon and then have our business meeting right after that. How many think that's a good idea? Okay. Well, a lot of us thought that was a good idea, and then actually it was when we almost made the decision. All right, if I tell, say who it was, Leonard? Leonard said, well, you know, what about keeping the Sabbath as a day of rest? And we kind of looked at each other and said, duh, yeah. So we're not going to do it on Sunday afternoon. We want to honor. And I'm sharing that in part to say that with each of these Ten Commandments, and talked about this when we started this, that the assumption is that in every one of these ten, there's areas that every one of us here can learn from, learn about the heart of God, learn how to honor God. And we have all been guilty of every one of those Ten Commandments, including this one this morning. There's not a person here that has perfectly honored their father and their mother in their thoughts, in their actions. So I just want you to hear the Lord as we tried to hear the Lord yesterday morning at elders' meeting. Hear the Lord speak to your heart this morning. So the commandment is honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now there's several things here just to point out. This makes a transition from the four commandments prior to this were about your relationship with God. How you can honor God. So these four commandments. And now it switches to this one and the rest, the remaining five, have to do with your relationship with each other. So God cares about how you relate to Him, and He also cares about how you relate to each other. Love the Lord your God with all your, say it with me, heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So this begins the six commands about relating to your neighbor and to your other people. Today is your parents. So I had four questions in preparing for this series, and I have put them up here. So I'd like to just walk through these four questions, and maybe you have some questions as we go along, and it's okay to say, hey Joe, what about this? I don't mind that. I don't mind that. Why is this command so important, and how can I teach my children to respect me as a parent? Now, some of us are done parenting, some of us aren't parents, some of us have young children, whatever. So, you know, this can apply to some of us, but to all of us, we have spiritual nieces, nephews, grandchildren, children, and so I think it'll apply to everyone. Here, how do I honor my parents? How do I honor my parents? And then the last question is actually early in this week talking to somebody, and told them what I was preaching on, and they said, "Man, Joe, how do I honor my parents when they have acted very dishonorably to me? That's a great question. And I know some of you here, a lot of people at Oakdale, different ones, have experienced a lot of pain because of parents that were wrong in how they treated their children. So I want to end with that. So why is this command so important? Why would this be included in the top 10? It's interesting, looking at the scriptures, I'll just give you a sampling of some of these other scriptures here where it talks about anyone, and this is these first two verses are the Old Testament law, which we said it's not our law, so we're not obligated, being in the New Covenant, the New Testament, to obey these laws. But there's a principle, a spirit behind these laws about how to love God and love our neighbor. So anyone who attacks their father or mother is to be put to death. You know? So this is a serious thing to God. It's not a small matter whether you honor your parents or not. Same thing, anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. And then in different places in the New Testament, particularly in Romans chapter 1 and in 2 Timothy chapter 3, there's this list of big sins. Sins that are, when you have these in your life, then it's your heart is being drawn away from God. And it's no small matter. Take these things serious. And included in both of these lists, see it there? Disobedient to their parents is listed among the big sins in the New Testament. So why would this be so important? Well, thank you for asking. What's that? You can't have a right relationship with God if you don't understand the principle of honoring your parents. That's a strong statement. You get that? He's right. You cannot have a right relationship with God if you don't understand the principle of honoring your parents. Now again, none of us have done it perfectly, but there's a principle there that God so desperately wants you to learn. Let's go back to this Proverbs 30 passage, which felt a bit apologetic because this isn't a very pleasant passage to read. But it strikes at the heart of this honor your father and mother. And there's a principle there. So I want you to look at, in this verses, look at the idea of the principle there of selfishness, self-centeredness. Okay? Selfishness, self-centeredness. That basic sin that all of us were born with. So look at it. There are those who curse their fathers and mothers and do not bless their mother. I forget how to do this pointer, but you can read it. And then they're pure in their own eyes and yet not cleansed of the filth. So someone who's pure in their own eyes, that's just a picture of a self is on the throne. So I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm good. You know, other people are wrong. So they're haughty. They're proud. Glances are disdainful. They look down at other people because they are on, their self is on the throne. They're selfish and they're looking down at other people. Their teeth are swords, so a proud, haughty person who's self-centered will say hurtful things to other people. They'll put other people down because they have to keep propping themselves up. Jaws are set to knives, devour the poor, take advantage of the disadvantaged, the powerless. And then it kind of switches subjects. The leech. You and I spent some years in Canada, and we would go to the lake swimming, and we'd come out, and the kids would come out with leeches. Gross. We'd have to put salt on them and pull them off, and they were bloodsuckers. So, the leech. Now, often in Proverbs, there's a verse, and then it does switch a subject to another, switch to another subject, and kind of each verse has its own, it's just a, but I think these here, This is one truth that Proverbs is trying to communicate. So the leech effect relates to those that curse their father and do not bless their mother. So the leech says, has two daughters, give, give, and they cry. Give, give, they cry. So a leech is a bloodsucker. It's somebody that exists, an animal that exists just to take from others. A selfish person, a self-centered person, is all about give me, give me. Okay, so that's the connection there. And then these three things that are never satisfied, the grave, barren, and land, never says enough. I want more. So a selfish person never has enough. I want more. I want more. Never satisfied. Sad way to live. Then it goes back and kind of wraps it up. The eye that mocks the father and that scorns an aged mother is very selfish. Very self-centered. And obviously this isn't necessarily literal about the ravens picking them out, but it's a principle that, and back to, it's illustrating that, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And Deuteronomy repeats his command with an added blessing of, you will live a rich, and my paraphrase, a rich and full life, blessed life, if you learn this principle of honoring your parents, which is, and so my point here in this is that this is so important because the root sin in everyone's life is selfishness. So there's this verse, foolishness abound upon the heart of a child, the rod of correction will drive it far from him. And there is a place still today, no matter what culture and politics telling you, for spanking a child. And I'm not going to get into that now, but I'd love to talk with you more. But there is a place for that. But there's also this sin of abuse, of anger, that we parents can be guilty of that is horribly and damaging. And I'll refer to that a little bit later. So it's not, I'm not advocating just beat the kid. But there is a place for the rod. And biblically, and it makes sense here in the bigger picture. So this foolishness, the fool is in the Bible is someone who's self-centered, who's just thinking about themselves. And so this foolishness, your child, you as a child, were born with that, and it needs to be removed. And so the home, the parents, are like the training wheels. To train a child not to be self-centered. To train a child to be obedient. And it's so important because the child, what's most important for any person is to learn to submit to the Lord their God. Learn to submit to God. And if someone doesn't learn to submit to the authority of God, you won't do well. You're going to flounder all through life. And so we parents have this opportunity to teach our children the training wheels, to teach them to respect authority, to be obedient to authority. And you learn that lesson early on. It's like parents are temporarily standing in for God. We have this person that God created in His image for a short season, and we have them, and we need to train them to obey God. So that it's not about obeying the parents. I tell my children this. It's not about me. It's about God. So you obey me so you can learn to obey God. And when you learn that and do that, then it will go well with you. And you will be blessed in life. Not that everything is going to go good, obviously. But so this is such an important lesson for us parents here to teach our children. Those of you who have young children particularly, to teach your children the training wheels to obey God. Someone has said that from birth to year old, 18 months, somewhere in there, the child learns there are no rules in life other than I rule. So when the infant baby is hungry, cries, gets fed. When he's tired, he can go sleep. He can be held. She can be held. In fact, the mother or father pushes a child through the shopping center and crowded places on this portable throne, and the crowd just parts. And the throne, the child on the throne gets ushered through the crowd, and people actually come and kneel before the throne seeking the blessing in the form of a smile. When the baby smiles, ah, you know. So child, and that's right and good and healthy. That's how you should nurture an infant. But for the next 18 years, after that first 12, 18 months, for the next 18 years, it's the parent's responsibility to rub out that throne mentality. The child is no longer on the throne. Now, it takes years for a child to learn that. In fact, I'm still learning that. And I had good parents. You are too. It's a part of us. But it takes a lifetime. But a child believes that they are running the show when they're an infant, and they are, but they cannot continue to do so. And so the terrible twos is simply a child screaming out in protest, "I rule." And the parent lovingly, firmly saying, "No, I rule. As a parent, you no longer rule." And if you as a parent fail to rub out this "I'm on the throne" mentality, then your child is headed for likely disaster socially, economically, and more importantly, spiritually. So that's why it's a part of the top 10. And that's why it's the first in these relationships. Honor your father and mother. So am I working on this text. Several years ago, another pastor said, "Joe, you need to look at John Roseman's books." And he has written a number of books on parenting. Anybody familiar with John Rose? All right. Am I safe, Betty? Is this a good... Okay, thank you. I haven't read all his books, but I've read some of these. I have these, and if you want to borrow one, I'd be glad to loan it to you. I love what he's saying. His basic premise is our culture is feeding us a lie. And our culture is saying that you need to, as a parent, build up the child's self-esteem and nurture them. And then they'll hopefully turn out to be good. I'm oversimplifying it. But he's saying no. A child needs to be taught that they are not on the throne. And he gives a lot of good, helpful suggestions that I don't have time to get into, but he's on YouTube. You can watch a lot of his stuff on YouTube. It's good stuff. He uses the term benevolent dictator. So a parent should be benevolent and a dictator, but both. And Nehemiah and I, we've had to talk to every one of our 12 children, together, separately, and we've had to, usually in tears, repent and tell them, "I'm sorry, we're sorry. We were too dictatorial, or we were too benevolent." We tend to err on one side or the other. But our goal, and I encourage you to, as parents, this is your goal, that it would be that you are the benevolent, loving, kind, but firm parent. And so he just gives a lot of ideas and help on how to do that. And he how to teach your children to honor parents, fleshes out these three rules that I like. Three rules for teaching your children to honor the parents. The first rule, he says, is you will pay much more attention to me than I will ever, again, generally, give to you. You get that? So the child is to pay attention to the parents. Now, obviously, we parents need to love and nurture our children, and we do that. And just the other week again, I took one of my children to the emergency room everything worked out okay, but they had my undivided attention for a season. It was all about them, and that's appropriate. I'm kind of laughing because I already owe Jewel, our youngest daughter, $5, because the first service, we have this family rule that if I mention a child's name over the pulpit, I have to give him $5. And I slipped and let Jules' name out, and so she gets it. Huh? Now, oh, no, it can't. I have to pray over that one. So one of my daughters, who's sitting here, but I won't name because I'm stingy, said that, Judge, you could just spend the whole time talking about us, Dad, and then just give us each $5. And so I'm not going to do that. But now I lost my train of thought. Well, you will pay much more attention to me. Seriously, I forgot where I was going with that. So the three rules there, let me look at my notes here. Just the simple thing of, and he mentions this in his book. He said, come 8:30, for when you're small children, put them to bed at 8:30 or 8 or 9, whatever works for you. But the reason you put them to bed, and tell your children this, is it's not whether they're tired or not, is that you're tired of parenting. You're done for the day. You need a break. So they go to bed. So you can have a break from parenting. It's not about them, it's about you. Now obviously you need to do this in a respectful way, and he uses this term that you don't demand respect, you earn respect. Or you, there's another word, I'm missing it there. But that idea that you, you command respect. You don't demand, but you command. And there's a big difference between demanding and commanding. So I like that, the difference he makes there. And the second rule is simply, you will do as I say. Yeah, you do it. You have to obey me. And then the third one is a continuation. You will do what I say, not because of bribes or brutality. There's the anger that has no place in parenting. The threats, the persuasive explanations. Forget the counting. I'm going to count it. That's stupid parenting. Pardon me if you're doing that, but don't do that. But you do it because I say so. I am the center of this relationship. It's not about you. It's about me, and it's really not about me, but it's about God. So I'm going to teach you to respect and fear the Lord. So if you have interest in this, check out John Rosemund and his teachings there. Some of you may be saying that, well, if you parent in this way, there's a risk that my child will be intimidated by me, will be afraid of me. And I would say, yeah, exactly. They should be. A child should have some level of fear of their parents and their authority. It's a healthy thing because when they go to school, they need to respect and fear, honor their teachers. And when they get their driver's license, they need to respect, fear, honor the law and the policeman. And when they get a job, they need to respect, honor, fear their employer. And more importantly than all that is they need to learn that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So they need to learn to fear the Lord. So, as a child, you obey your parents. As an adult, and we've heard this and we've used it, and it works, is that as a child grows through their teenage years, the more they honor and respect, the more freedom you give them. And they earn their freedom. So, maybe I told you this years ago. One of our older daughters told her younger siblings who were in their teenage years, and I'm not mentioning names for obvious reasons. She said to her younger siblings, if you just respect your dad, you can get anything you want from him. And there's some truth to that, that they earn their freedom through respect. As an adult, there's nothing that honors me more as a parent with my adult children than to have our adult children walk in the fear of the Lord and to be the person God, and that honors me so much. And keep them involved in your life. I love when the kids stop by, our adult children, when they call me and ask me for advice, ask Naomi for advice, when they express appreciation, I feel so honored am blessed when they do that and when they care for me as I age. Or I'm not there yet, but I'm headed that way. But you get the idea. So there's ways that you can honor your parents as an adult. And this is very important as an adult, just as a child, because I need to continue to relearn to fear the Lord. And my father is 90 years old, lives in Delaware, and as I honor him, it helps, reminds me to honor the Lord. So a lot of us, some of us here, have this unfortunate experience of having parents that have been incredibly hurtful to us. This week, Naomi and I and our kids, we watched The Shack. Some of you have watched that. It was in theaters. It's now on Netflix. So we watched it. And there's a sad part of that movie where as a little boy, his father was very abusive to him. And he went to his church and he told them about it. And it turned into disaster. I grieved over that part of the movie. It was so sad. And my point here is simply that for children and parents, we need to give our children that blessing, permission. Talk to an older person you trust. Talk to your pastor, a trusted relative, if there's things going on in your home that are ungodly. You're not dishonoring your parents by telling someone that can help if there's things going wrong. And then, and this really, if you really think about it, every one of us, none of us have had perfect parents. So we have to follow the teachings of Jesus to forgive them, to extend mercy to them, release them of the consequences. They're accountable to God, not to you. And then extend acts of kindness to them. And I'm kind of sad with this because I know some of your stories and they're not good and it's incredibly difficult. But it's what God says. And there's always blessing in obedience, even though it is difficult. I invite you to stand and I'd like to pray for you, with you. And I don't know where you're at this morning. If you're struggling with just guilt from how you've disobeyed this command. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us. If you're struggling with how to parent and you're feeling overwhelmed, I don't know where you're at, but wherever you're at, there's grace. There's kindness of Jesus. He invites you to come and His yoke is easy. This command is easy because He'll help you to do that. If you're a child struggling with obedience, Jesus will help you. If you're an adult struggling with obedience, Jesus will help you. So let's pray. And Jesus, we thank You that You have taken away the spirit of condemnation and fear. And we're no longer a slave to that, but we're Your slave to walk in obedience. Thank You for forgiving us of our sins. And I pray in the power and name of Jesus that Your Holy Spirit will speak to each heart and give us the grace, the strength to forgive, to walk in obedience, to honor our parents. Amen.